Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are moving closer to becoming their party's presidential nominees after the latest round of primaries. For the Republicans, Trump swept all five Northeast states last night by wide margins. Clinton won 4 of 5, losing only Rhode Island to Bernie Sanders. So the two are now taking aim at each other. Here's Donald Trump.
Frankly, if Hillary Clinton were a man, I don't think she'd get 5% of the vote. The only thing she's got going is the woman's card.
And Clinton had this response last night.
Mr. Trump accused me of playing the, quote, woman card. Well, if fighting for women's health care and paid family leave and equal pay is playing the woman card, then deal me in.
With us now this morning to talk about the race going forward is the WBUR political team, Democratic analyst Dan Payne. Good morning, Dan.
Morning, Bob.
Republican analyst Todd Domke. Good morning to you, Todd.
Good morning.
All right, let's start with the Democrats. Has Hillary Clinton shed the label clear favorite? Would you say she's now the presumptive nominee? Is that her new label, Dan Payne?
Well, she's not a sure bet, but the odds favor her heavily. Her unfavorable ratings in polls are quite high, not at Trump's level, but too high for comfort. She may be putting Bernie Sanders in her rearview mirror, but Donald Trump is emitting noxious fumes all along the road.
All right. Todd Domke.
Well, I think the statement late last night from the Sanders campaign indicated that, yes, they're shifting gears, that the Sanders campaign will no longer claim that there is a path to victory. They understand the delegate math. But Sanders still feels an obligation to the movement he has inspired, to the activists who want to fight on and want him to continue to make the case for change in the economy and the political system. So he'll continue through California, June 7th. But the candidacy will transform into more of a campaign to set the agenda for the Democratic convention.
If Hillary Clinton is the nominee, do you expect anything less than eventual full-throated support for Clinton from Sanders? When might that come? And will she have trouble winning over Sanders supporters, Todd?
Well, I think his focus will be more on trying to change the Democratic Party. He'll still be campaigning in primaries. He won't be so openly critical of her, I don't think. But he'll also use his leverage, his popularity, to try to influence other Democratic candidates and public officials and perhaps have his movement begin to take over the National Democratic Party, reforming its primary system so progressives fare better in 2020 and beyond.
All right. Dan Payne on that.
Well, there'll be about 6 weeks between the last primaries in June and the Democratic convention in July. That's plenty of time for wounds to heal. But the usual influences on a Democratic candidate won't work on Bernie Sanders because he's not really a Democrat. He's got some labor ties, but only one U.S. senator is backing him, and women's groups are for Hillary. Big Democratic donors are for Hillary. So it'll be difficult for Democrats to get any part of Bernie Sanders' throat, full or not, to endorse him. Her ace in the hole is Barack Obama. He's got 55% favorability among voters under 30, and Hillary beats Trump by 36 points among 18 to 29-year-olds.
All right, quick answer to this question, Dan. Is the Clinton campaign acting too confidently by talking vice presidential choices already? And is Elizabeth Warren a real option? She is on some lists.
Well, starting with Warren, she says she doesn't want it. I believe her, and I also believe she can be more effective as an independent senator rather than as Hillary's number two. You know, I thought when the Clinton campaign started talking about vice presidents, it looked like it was cocky. It was almost trash talk, and the candidate herself doesn't indulge in it.
All right, let's move on to the Republicans. Donald Trump has thought of himself as the presumptive nominee for a while now, well before last night's results. Should the rest of us think of him in that way as of today? And can the convention deny Trump without risking the millions of his voters staying home in November?
Well, I think last night he sounded more like the presumptuous nominee. He called himself the presumptive nominee, which candidates usually don't do. He doesn't have it locked up yet. Indiana is very important next week, and he can't hit the 1,237 delegates he needs until California. But psychologically, it was a big win. He deflated Cruz, who came in third in most of the primaries, and John Kasich was a distant second. I think Trump has given Kasich an eating disorder at this point.
Well, Trump voters are fully aware of how Donald talks. His voters don't seem to care, though, about his insults or his self-flattery. They believe he will change their lives. When people believe that firmly and you try to take that away, they'll be angry and stay home. That's a big risk for the Republican leadership.
Yeah, can he be stopped, though? Donald Trump, can he be stopped? You know, his opponents believe that he'll have trouble in Indiana, Nebraska, Montana, South Dakota, maybe Oregon and Washington State. And since New Mexico and California are proportional, they still think they have a chance, do they?
I think it depends on Trump. Can he learn to behave in public and on Twitter? He's showing little regard for the handlers who told him to cool it. But once delegates are free, as they will be after a first ballot, anything can happen.
Well, Trump needs about 50% of the remaining delegates. But if he wins some states like New Jersey and takes about half of Pennsylvania's unbound delegates, he'll need just about 40% of the remaining. So he could still do something crazy and self-destructive. But craziness hasn't hurt him so far. He says some Republican public officials are now finally talking to his campaign about coming on board, which has been very unusual because usually the establishment types want to jump on the bandwagon of the front runner. But part of the reason for their reluctance is that those Republican leaders know they'll be seen by many as opportunists. But establishment endorsements would be a sign that, indeed, Trump looks inevitable.
All right. Last question. Dan touched on this a second ago. Trump's new campaign team recently said that Trump's campaign style would change and that he'd soon begin to act more presidential. But reports now say that Trump has rejected that idea. No great surprise there. To what effect, Todd?
Well, that attempt to act presidential lasted about a day, it seems. Trump cannot be reined in, apparently. He can't resist ranting. So let Trump be Trump is still the strategy, which is good news for the Democrats. Trump brought in Paul Manafort, a lobbyist who has represented dictators accused of torturing their citizens, and Manafort brought in other lobbyists who are part of the torture lobby to help Trump. But, a lot of people wonder if Trump boasts about how he'd hire the best people. That doesn't seem to be the case here. Outsiders are not supposed to rely on lobbyists to run their campaigns.
And Dan Payne.
Well, Manafort might have to torture Trump to get him to behave. he's dangerously uninformed, so you never know what he's going to say. But the fact that he's on his way to leading one of our parties says a great deal about our politics.
Democrat Dan Payne, thanks a lot for coming in this morning after last night's big contest and big wins for Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And the same thank you to Republican analyst Todd Domke.
Good to be with you, Bob.